Why are you weeping? I mean, isn't it obvious? Like, are they making fun of her? Why are you weeping? And she says, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. So that's what Mary says. That's only the most immediate reason. I mean, Jesus was her teacher and leader. Jesus was someone she followed. Jesus, she left her life behind in many ways to follow this guy all the way to Jerusalem. And now he's dead and gone, and now somebody has stolen his body. Why are you weeping? What? For lots of reasons. Come on. Come on. I mean, Jesus was, he was taken away. She says, they've taken my Lord. First he was taken when he was arrested. Then, as part of his trial, he was taken to the chief priests, and then to Pilate, and then to Herod, in one of the versions at least, and then back to Pilate. And then finally that was done. So that trial was a real mess. He was taken all over the place. Then he was beaten and taken to Golgotha, where he was nailed to a cross and tortured while soldiers mocked him and the whole city could see his shameful public death. Why are you weeping? Still a silly question. Mary believed that Jesus was the Messiah, whom God had sent to restore David's throne in Israel and to bring peace and prosperity to Israel and through Israel to the entire world. Jesus was the one who was supposed to change the world, to bring about God's kingdom on earth. She had seen Jesus enter the city to crowds, cheering Hosanna and waving palm branches and throwing their cloaks down in front of him to honor him. She thought this was really going to happen. Everybody thought this was really, really going to happen. And now he's dead? Why are you weeping? I mean, where was Mary even staying? She's not from Jerusalem. Was she just sleeping on the floor next to a bunch of other people? Had she slept at all that night? No wonder she was there before the sun rose. Probably the other Mary snored. Or the other Mary, or the other... I mean, there's a lot of Marys. Why are you weeping? I mean, what was she going to do next? She had left her home. She had followed... She had put her life in Jesus' hands. What are you going to... Do you go home? How do you go home after that? How do you go home after seeing all these miracles? After seeing all these lives transformed? How do you just go home and back to... I don't know what she did when she was at... Whatever that is, how do you go back to that? And if you don't go back, where do you go? Do you just spend the rest of your life sitting around moping with Jesus' other followers, remembering the good old days? I mean, what's her plan here? I have no idea what Mary's future looked like at that moment when Jesus' body was missing. Why are you weeping? And then, finally, Jesus is there. She turns around, Jesus is there. Mary does not even recognize him in her distress. And then Jesus repeats the question, which I don't think is very nice, to be honest. Why are you weeping? He asks. Whom are you looking for? I think he knows the answer already. I mean, can he possibly expect her to know what's happened, to understand, to figure it out? Oh yeah, Jesus, right, so I saw you die, but then you must have risen from the dead, so I guess all the rules are different now. Great. Does he expect her to figure that out? I don't think so. Still, Mary is trying to find Jesus' body, afraid that it's been stolen, that something terrible has happened. Just one more insult on top of all that she's endured so far. Finally, at the height of Mary's anxiety, after just a terrible few days, the worst days of her life, Jesus calls Mary's name, and she recognizes him. And it's like the dam breaks, and all her fear and anguish and weeping turn to joy and shock, because Jesus is risen from the dead. Finally, Jesus comforts Mary, who loves him so much. And Jesus comes to her when she needs him the most. Why are you weeping? Her tears have been turned to tears of joy. Now, we gather here today to celebrate Easter, to rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus. But we come here today in the midst of the rest of our lives, and on an average day, I think the angel's question to Mary is a fair one for any of us. Why are you weeping? Maybe some of you never weep at all, maybe because you're too macho, or maybe because your life is so awesome. Maybe you don't relate to this at all. But most of us have some cause to weep, even if we don't, on a particular day. Why are you weeping? Some of us on Easter remember loved ones we've lost, whether it was this year or a decade ago. Some of us are worried about our health or the health of someone close to us. Some of us weep at the power of prejudice and discrimination in our society. Some of us weep for the victims of war in Syria or Afghanistan or wherever. I didn't check Twitter yet this morning. There's war today. Some of us have lost our homes and even our homelands. Why are you weeping? Some of us weep at the violence in our own communities. Some of us weep because the earth itself seems to be dying before our eyes because of human greed and selfishness. Some of us weep because even in the busy chaos of our interconnected world, we feel alone. There are so many reasons to weep. And like I said, most of us put up a brave front and you don't spend your day weeping all the time. That doesn't really get the job done. But so many of us have cause to weep for one reason or 10 reasons, today or yesterday or tomorrow. Weeping is part of what makes us human. It's part of who we are. It's part of not knowing what's going to happen to us. It's part of worrying about those we love. It's part of living in a world with so much that we can be afraid of. So don't let some angels make fun of you just because they have nothing to cry about. When you weep, and you do weep, you will weep, we all do. When you weep, turn around and see Jesus beside you. Even death could not keep Jesus from comforting Mary when she needed him. And in Jesus' death and resurrection, we can be sure that he will be with us when we weep. This is real, people. Jesus is risen from the dead. And because he is risen, you can be sure that nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing you do, nothing you fail to do, nothing done to you, no sin or pain or disobedience or tragedy or laziness, nothing can keep God from loving you, especially when you need God most. This is the good news. This is the Easter story. It's the story of God's love and how God's love is stronger than anything that would keep you from God. Even death itself. And when Jesus comes to Mary in her time of deepest need, what does he do? He comforts her a little bit, kind of. It's not super comforting, but he comforts her. But then Jesus commands Mary to go and tell the disciples what had happened. Mary, filled with all these crazy emotions, with all this joy and sadness and shock and chaos in her heart and hope growing suddenly, Mary becomes the first apostle, the first person to tell the good news of Jesus' resurrection. I have seen the Lord, she says. I have seen the Lord. I suspect that the fear and uncertainty about her future is gone. Mary will continue to follow Jesus even after he is gone because she knows he lives. She will tell the good news to all who need to hear it in their own desperate needs, in their own time of weeping. I have seen the Lord. Mary has seen that life is stronger than death. And we have seen that God's love is for us. That God's love is for you. And you and you, and there's a lot of people in here. God's love is for you. Nothing can keep God from loving you. Death and pain and sin and fear, all of those things are real parts of our lives, but they never have the last word. This is Mary's message that she brought to the disciples and that she brings to us. And this is the message that we can bring forth in our lives and into our messy, complicated, frightening world. We don't need to let fear shape our lives or even our society. We can stand up for love and share the love of God in Jesus with everyone, with every kind of person, because no one is outside the love of God. This is the good news. This is the story of Easter. Amen.